The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We were at the Cardinal game yesterday, just as Madison Bumgarner signed or agreed to terms with the Diamondbacks. And so I'm at the Cardinal game yesterday, which really was a Cleveland Brown Northern Ohio game yesterday. Southern Ohio, wherever in Ohio, but it was a Browns game. And even though the Cardinals won, which is fine, and Kenyon Drake scored 4 touchdowns, which is fine. And when free agency hits, we'll just see where loyalty lies with everybody here. What might have been Larry Fitzgerald's final home game as a member of the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. Kyler Murray looked pretty good against Cleveland, who's not good. Cleveland looked like a team that had quit, got problems on the sidelines. Thought Jay Feely did a really good job when I watched the game back late last night. The two big stories are the Cardinals win, and I'm not one to sit here and jump up and down and cheerlead. It's a win on a team that's lost 9 and tied 1. They have 4 victories on the season. It does nothing in terms of carryover effect to next year. That's just like one of the oldest, let's fill some media time in our little sports cast tonight or a 3-hour talk show. And we're just not going to play those games here. It's not how it works. Instead, we'll have Pedro Gomez with us. And Pedro's going to talk about Madison Bumgarner. And is this really surprising that they would get him done and bring him here to the Diamondbacks to the tune of $85 million over 5 years? I talked to someone yesterday in a management position in the National League West who said Madison Bumgarner is a fly ball pitcher. That's not a good combination at Chase Field. It's one person's opinion. So I feel as though while there's going to be a lot of excitement and there should be, that you got to tap the brakes. Let's just see how this works. But on the surface, how can you not be excited? This guy is young. He's 11 years in the big leagues, 4-time All-Star. You put him at the top of your rotation. Does it allow the Diamondbacks to move Robbie Ray in another deal? It is probably time for that to happen. To have someone like Bumgarner and maybe you keep Robbie Ray, what does that look like in terms of a starting rotation in the National League West? Our opening comments, as always, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. I was with Michael Stricker, the CEO of Sagicor, the other night. We were out at Topgolf having a good time. I said, how are things? And he said, we've got some exciting products that are coming out for 2020 that I'll be sharing with you. The people at Sagicor Now, they do a very good job of protecting what matters most. Whatever space you're in, now as you come to the end of the year, it is a time where you reflect and say, boy, a year ago, I didn't have this kid running around. Or, you know, in 2020, I am going to have this kid or 2 kids running around, whatever it may be. Whatever your space is in life, you need life insurance. So log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro's at 10:20. Mike Norvell is going to be with us today, former ASU offensive coordinator and now the head football coach at Florida State. Looking very much forward to talking to Mike Norvell about how the road led from Tempe to Memphis, where he killed it, to Florida State. And then we'll have Fabs with us, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Michael Fabiano will jump on board for his weekly segment. A little bit of housekeeping. So we are going to have 2 television shows this week on Fox Sports Arizona. We will have the Brad Sessmatt Football AZ show with Peter King and Tommy Luganbill. And then we are going to have a special letter of intent signing day show. It's going to run a lot, like 20 times. And we're going to have Eric in on it and Jordan, of course, because of the recruiting roundup. And Devin Henry and Sandy Charles and reaction from ASU and U of A. All of that we will be doing later on this week. So it will air on Fox Sports Arizona, as both our shows do. We appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports AZ. Pedro Gomez coming up shortly. Eric is with us. So I feel as though the Mad Bum stuff, first of all, welcome back.
Thanks.
You need a break from the high school season, huh?
Yeah. And I was at the Cardinal game, too, just in a different capacity than you were yesterday.
Were you incapacitated or were
no,
you capacitated?
Nope. I just have friends that
Where
are long-suffering Cleveland Browns fans. We were in the Ring of Honor section,
wow,
which is not really. It's the 400 level, but they were still pretty good seats.
What did you think of the game?
It wasn't bad. I mean, the Cardinals, you know, Kenyon Drake is, what's going on with David Johnson? We ask ourselves that every week, and now maybe we're getting closer and closer to the David Johnson era officially ending in Arizona or something happening. I don't know.
Isn't it amazing in sports where you can give somebody a boatload of money and then they don't produce for whatever reason? And I stand on David Johnson's side on a little bit of this, that the organization abused him earlier in his career.
No doubt.
Feels like the organization gets themselves into contracts where they agree to big money like Tyrann Mathieu for past services. And then they blow him out, and then he continues to play on. And I think Patrick Peterson's probably going to be in that space. You know, why did Patrick Peterson play so well yesterday? Was it because of Baker Mayfield? Look at me. Was it because of Baker Mayfield? Was it because of the
was
rest
that
of the
an urgent
Browns?
Call? You can it take was, it if you want. I can just finish off the segment. So.
It's letter of intent day stuff. So.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
But it wasn't a bad game. I mean, it's good. Yeah, the Browns are not a good team. I think they've kind of rolled over and played dead, as you said. But it's good that the Cardinals got their second home win of the year because last year they only won one home game.
The press box was packed yesterday. Not that fans care.
With Cleveland media?
Yeah, with Cleveland media. They served prime rib and sweet potatoes and green beans, and the line was long, and I don't know. I just like going to visit and then watch and then kind of react to it. I sat with Larry Fitzgerald's dad yesterday. This isn't name dropping. It's just the way that they have it set up. You've sat next to Fitz's dad a ton.
Many times. Yeah, it's great.
So the way that it's set up there, we are in a spot in the press box where they have some of us together on a digital side, and Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is one of those. And so we're sitting there talking about the game. And he put on Twitter yesterday, if this is it, which obviously is a big story.
For sure.
If this is it.
And you have to wonder, knowing Fitz Sr., if he did that just to stir the pot a little bit with 3 weeks left in the season.
Well, I used it. I used it because that's newsworthy.
It is, but we go through this every year.
We do
and
go through this every year.
Let's be honest, Brad. Larry Fitzgerald isn't retiring. Like, let's just call this as we see it. I would be stunned if he retired at the end of this year.
Okay, do you think if we're to get outside of Arizona, the perception that I'm hearing from my guys is they're getting Larry his 3-4 catches a game, but his productivity, he's just not the player that he once was. Now, if we're being brutally honest with one another, does he look as fast and as sleek and as skilled and as agile as he did in 2004 when he came in? The answer is no.
No, of course not.
No. But I use the Steve Nash analogy a lot. Steve Nash was done. Larry's not done.
No. No, he has 700 receiving yards this year, and if you know, he could get probably not 1,000, but he could get relatively close to 1,000 yards.
Do you think if they had other receivers to help him out? Like, Christian has been dinged up at times this year, and the offensive line's not been great.
Right.
David
We've
Johnson
seen flashes
hasn't been
from
great.
Keyshawn Johnson. Flashes.
Yeah, flashes, right? So if he had some other talent around him, do you feel as though that he would have had more productivity this season? The question is his production slipping? Is it the Kingsbury system, which really now you look at, it's a running system more than a throwing system?
It always has been. That's the biggest misconception about the air raid. The air raid spreads you out so you can run the ball. That's
if you have somebody who can run it.
That's the whole, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're going to throw it a lot. Yeah, they are. But the base concept of the air raid is to be able to attack via the run.
Well, they have to have somebody who can run it.
I mean, ask Mike Leach. He's the one that pretty much invented it.
David Johnson cannot be running out of bounds for fear of
right.
getting hurt because his kids are. Now, that's just part of the deal.
Right.
All right, some of the other stuff. So we're going to talk to Pedro in a couple of minutes about Mad Bum. And the Cardinals end up getting the victory yesterday. Really, those are the two big stories in town. I would say that tonight, this is supposed to be the return of DeAndre Ayton week. And the Suns have just kind of meandered around 500. They got hosed on a bad call down in Mexico City against San Antonio. But for them to be right around 500, for them to have not fallen off the cliff, they didn't have Devin Booker the other day in the Saturday game. They have Portland tonight. Portland has probably been the most disappointing team in the NBA from my view. There's a team that's really surprising, and that's the Lakers. They've only lost three times. Now, you'd say, well, why are you surprised by that? Because they turned over their coaching staff and most of their roster, and LeBron has come out this year, and he's played phenomenal. He's fun to watch. He is not doing load management games. He's playing as well as ever, and maybe it's because it's Anthony Davis that's around him. But the Suns have lost 7 of 10, and tonight they're home to Portland. Madison Bumgarner, what did Pedro Gomez make out of all of this? He joins us next. And now let's turn our attention to everything around the signing of Mad Bum. Mad Bum comes on board with the Diamondbacks. They have not made it official as of yet, but Pedro Gomez, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, analyst, Valley man about town with the Cardinals too, he is with us. Does signing Madison Bumgarner make any sense at all to you? Should this be hailed universally? Or as one front office NL West executive told me, flyball pitcher at Chase Field, not a great move. Where do you come down on this?
You know what? It's certainly a better move than not making this kind of move if you're a Diamondback fan. And, you know, who knows how many miles are left in the tank, because Madison does have a lot of mileage on that arm, but he is 30 years old. He's only 10 months older than Zach Wheeler, who just got a larger deal from the Phillies. And I think if you had to look at who you'd rather have pitching in a big game, I doubt that there'd be many people around baseball that would say Zach Wheeler over Madison Bumgarner in a one game situation. Mm-hmm. So look, he has pedigree. Who knows what's left? I understand the analytics part is somewhat concerning. Like you said, the ground, the fly balls, Chase Field is not a park that holds a lot of fly balls in. But, you know, if you're a fan of the Diamondbacks, you have to say, hey, at least they're doing something. At least they're trying something. And, you know, Bumgarner is very familiar with the area. So he had some choices, and he chose here because – you know, he has spent 6 weeks a year here in the Valley because of the Giants spring training home. Mm-hmm. He has a place here. There's a lot of boxes that check. It could flame out, but you know what? He's got a limited no trade clause. There's only 5 clubs that he cannot be traded to. And I got to believe a guy like this at a controllable salary where a new club would know exactly what they're paying, that's not going to be the worst thing in the world if a year from now or 2 years from now, the Diamondbacks, it's not working out here, but it could be working out somewhere else.
All right. What kind of guy is he, Pedro?
He's a quiet guy. He's a country guy. You know, he's not a big city boy by any means. Mm-hmm. He's a hard worker. He stays to himself a lot. He is willing to share his knowledge with younger pitchers or other pitchers. But he's not a guy that's going to be a great quote, so to speak, for the media. But he's going to, you know, put his head down and just go to work.
Why would he come here? I know what you're saying about the side of it of he has horses and he's been here in the Valley for 6 weeks. If you're coming here to win, and when you say he's a big game pitcher in a one game playoff, I'd like to think. And I trust Mike Hazen to build a roster correctly. Is he coming here just to play golf and hang out as some guys do? I don't believe that to be true. But you know that there's guys that want to finish it out in a space like Arizona. That doesn't feel like that's what's going on here. Can he be that number one top of the rotation guy?
Well, he's already the number one guy in this rotation.
Sure.
There's no doubt.
But will he perform like it?
Does he match up against a Walker Buehler or someone like that?
Yes.
Probably not anymore, but I think on any given night, he's capable of out-pitching the guy like Walker Buehler. Not consistently over the long haul, but on any given night. And look, if you're in the NL West and you look at the Dodgers have won 7 straight NL West titles, and it doesn't look like that string is going to stop anytime soon. So if you are someone else in the NL West and you're thinking, our only chance is to get in as a wild card, and we need somebody that can win a wild card game, well, not only has Madison Bumgarner done that, he is a guy that can win a one-game playoff to get you into the next round, which is a 3 out of 5. And realistically, in the NL West, unless you're the Dodgers, you're probably not going to win this division. The Dodgers are just getting better. Mm-hmm. Every year it seems like there's a new wave of 2 or 3 young guys that come up, and it's like, holy cow, where did this guy Dustin May come from? Where did Gavin Lux come from?
Right.
Where did Alex Verdugo come from? And before that, it was, you know, Cody Bellinger and Jock Peterson and Seager at short. And, like, it's just a nonstop flow down the pipeline for the Dodgers. So if you're looking at being in the NL West, other than being the Dodgers, your chances are probably NL wild card game or bust. And if you are in that position, you want somebody that has not only done it, but is capable of still doing it. And I think Bumgarner still holds that card.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Major League Baseball insider analyst. In terms of the way that the roster has been shaped over the last, and I'll go back here, last 12 months, from Goldschmidt to Greinke, acquiring assets, acquiring Carson Kelly to solidify behind home plate, I think that deal's turned out fine for the Diamondbacks so far. Now you add Bumgarner through free agency, and I'm not sure what direction they're going to go with the rest of their bullpen. But Pedro, I feel like that we've got a little bit of stability here, that this, what's this organization going to do with Goldschmidt? That was answered. What are they going to do with Greinke? That was answered with a boatload of kids. And now it's really Mike Hazen saying, okay, we have our top of the rotation guys. People here in Arizona need to trust that we know what we're doing. We are a competent, above average major league franchise now. Am I overstating it?
Well, I think that they recognize who they are. You know, you're in, like I said, you're in a division where there is a juggernaut, where it's going to be almost impossible to unseat that juggernaut in the foreseeable future. So you've got to reanalyze who you are. And rather than saying, let's just start from scratch, the way that, say, the San Francisco Giants are doing right now.
Or the Padres just acquiring everybody or anybody. It's like they're just throwing money because Ron Fowler's told him, I'm going to fire all of you. AJ, you're going to be fired. And we're going to just go burn through money and bring in every possible big name guy. And that usually doesn't work.
It usually does not. And the Padres are in a must win right now situation.
Yep.
So they, you know, it's almost like they've swam halfway across the ocean, and rather than just returning back, they're going to say, you know what, we're already halfway there. Let's just keep going. But yeah, you look at the NL West, you know, the Rockies had a huge drop-off this past season. So if you are the Diamondbacks, you're looking at it saying, we realistically believe that we can finish in second place. Mm-hmm. And if we do, we've got a chance to be in the wild card game, and that's realistically how everybody in this division has to look at it, unless you're the Dodgers. So, you know, you look at the on-field product that they're able to do at the big league level. You look at guys like Kevin Ginkle, who's come up through the system. You know, you mentioned Kelly in the trade from the Cardinals. God, his name is escaping me right now, Brad, and this happens more often. From the Marlins.
Pitcher. Yeah. I'm escaping me too. Zach Gallen.
Gallen. Yeah. Gallen. I was going to say Gelfin. I knew that wasn't it. But Gallen, who looks like a very, very solid, you know, three or four in your rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, there are reasons to think, look, the club is not going to be, you know, someone that's trying to reach 500. They should be in the 85 to 90 win range. And if they are closer to the 90 win range, that usually can get you into the wild card game.
Yep.
So, you know, and look, if things fall apart and the wheels come off the entire operation, you've got pieces that other clubs would absolutely want. Guys like Jake Lamb, Robbie Ray, unless he's traded before then, even a Madison Bumgarner could be dealt, you know, later this year or early in the 2021 season if the wheels completely fall off the operation. So it's not like you have assets that other clubs would be averse to trading for. You've got some pieces that other clubs would absolutely say, hey, we're interested in that.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to be down as much as other clubs would.
Have a good new year. I appreciate you and hearing your voice through the year, and stay well. Thanks.
Absolutely, Brad. Hope all is well, buddy.
There's Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN Baseball, Major League insider, and of course covers things here in the Valley too, like the Cardinals. Mike Norvell is scheduled to join us next, the former Arizona State Sun Devil OC, now head coach at Florida State. That's next. When N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas were at Chandler High School and some other players, Mike Norvell was the guy that pursued. Without Mike Norvell, there's no way that those guys show up at Arizona State. N'Keal's, of course, now with the Patriots. This is nothing against Coach Graham. It's just Mike Norvell worked his tail off. And then Mike decided to do the smart thing, and that's go to Memphis, cut his teeth as a head coach. And now Mike Norvell is the head football coach at Florida State University. They are playing Arizona State in just a really odd twist of fate. Eric and I are going to head to the Sun Bowl for that game on New Year's Eve. Mike Norvell joins us for a couple of minutes. You're not going to coach in this game, though, right, Mike?
I'm not. I've got my hands full. You know, we're hitting the ground running with recruiting and making sure that you know, we're finishing up here for the early signing day, and then you know, also looking to finalize my staff. And I'm definitely excited about the opportunity that I've been presented. And you know, it's been a great first week. You know, a lot of excitement. You know, obviously I hit the ground running, but it's been a wonderful transition so far.
Mike Norvell with us, former offensive coordinator at Arizona State University, now head football coach at Florida State. How did your time at ASU prepare you? Well, I know Memphis was a big part of it, but how did ASU's time prepare you to be the head coach of a university as prestigious as Florida State?
It was incredible. You know, I loved my time in Tempe. It was my first time in a leadership role, and to be able to really hire a staff and you know, develop those guys to what we did, to you know, being able to recruit an incredible group of student athletes that that played at a very high level. It was each of those experiences were valuable in my growth and development. And you know, I was grateful for every day that I had there, the relationships that were forged. You know, the people were really what stood out to me during that time. And you know, I was always very welcoming. And you know, it was just a special time in my life. And I was you know, definitely fortunate to be given the opportunity.
When you decided to go to Memphis, Mike, you could have stayed here, and instead you really took a chance, but a necessary leap, because you wanted to be the head coach. Was it a difficult decision to go from ASU to Memphis?
You know, anytime you leave a place that you love, and you know, young men that you know, that means so much to you, it's always challenging. But you know, just like anything, you know, it really came down to how I felt you know, Memphis at the time fit me. You know, the opportunity to be able to kind of build a family there within that football program, and all those things checked off. And you know, it was, you know, there were other opportunities during my time at ASU just to go get to have that title of being a head coach. But for me, it was really all about the right fit. And I thought Memphis, you know, definitely provided the opportunity and you know, and provided you know, a great situation. And you know, I was glad that it worked out, and we were able to make the most of it. You know, it was definitely a great choice, even though it was difficult to leave it at the beginning.
Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State, with us. What is your pitch when you have student athletes you're looking at to come to Tallahassee? What do you sell? What do you talk about?
You know, I mean, it's such an incredible place. It's a place where you can really do it all. You know, we're a top 20 academic institution in the country. You know, you get to live in an incredible place. You know, here in Tallahassee, where you know, the football tradition and the brand are some of the greatest in all of college football. The people that I've been able to meet, the welcome, the reception, you know, the expectations, all those things have you know, been incredible throughout this transition. And you know, we're looking for the same thing that I've always sought as a coach. You know, we're looking for the right young men that fit our program, that you are looking to be successful in every aspect of their life, and can help take Florida State football back to where it belongs. And you know, that's at the top of college football. And you know, this is definitely an incredible place to be able to do it at.
Okay, have you heard from Dion yet, or Charlie Ward, or I mean, these guys?
I tell you, that's what makes this place so special. Within my first you know, 24 hours, all of those guys reached out. And you know, I'll never forget when I was growing up, when my very first piece of collegiate memorabilia was a 1993 license plate. It was the only thing that was on my wall, and it was the national championship you know, recognition for Florida State football. And Charlie Ward was somebody that I just you know, had so much respect for. And it was just such a special player, and to be able to meet him my first day, that was it kind of gave me goosebumps. And you know, those guys, you know, are incredible. I mean, the former players, the passion they have for this program, the respect that has been built over the year for this brand, that's something that I don't take lightly. And I understand the responsibility I have to represent that in a first-class fashion. But just the openness and the support that we've received from the former players, it's been remarkable.
All right, so how are you handling this bowl game with Arizona State? You're going to be there, but you're not going to coach? Am I going to see you in the stands and the press box? What are you going to do?
I'll be in attendance. I'm going to come out to the game. I'll be probably up in one of the press box suites and just be able to observe. This game's not about me. It's about this team. It's about the work that's gone in from the senior class. Obviously, Coach Higgins will continue his role, as head coach of this team throughout the end of the season. And I'm there to support them in every aspect that I can, whatever I can do, helping them through the process, I will. But I don't want to overstep any bounds to what this team has done and accomplished. I've got my hands full with what I'm trying to do in the personnel aspect, of what we're doing for our future. But I'm going to be there to support, no doubt.
All right. Any of these ASU players you're still tied to? Do you know?
There's guys that we were a part of recruiting. Cole Cabral, there up front. Steve Miller. I think Chase. Obviously those guys. I've got a lot of respect for and to see them grow up and what they've been able to do with their careers. Kyle Williams is one that I still remember very well and just such a well-rounded young man.
Yep.
On the field and off of it. But those are the. It's kind of getting back to the back end. Those guys are now all in the latter part of their careers, and to see them have the success they've had, I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, you're not going to put any time into prep on this. It's all on the Coach Higgins, so it's probably unfair, but I'll just ask you anyways. You may have a thought on the job Herm's doing out here.
Well, I tell you, you see the job that Coach Edwards has done. He's one of the great coaches in college football. I mean, he's jumped into that program, with 2 feet and, kind of like I've done doing here, just, really hit the ground running and trying to develop and build, the brand and what they're working to accomplish. And I got a lot of respect for him. And I got a lot of respect for the university as well.
I'll see you at the Sun Bowl in El Paso. I appreciate your time, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me on. Thank you.
Take care. This is Mike Norvell, head coach, Florida State, former Sun Devil. It's a really good story. It's a really good story. And some of you are, you want me to ask him about recruiting. I can't do that, okay? It's letter of intent day is 2 days away. So until recruiting day is over, I can't ask him about players. So I'm not doing it. Michael Fabiano is next. Stay with us. Now it's time to turn our attention to Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Every week he jumps on board and talks about how great the Dallas Cowboys are going to do. And every week, every week he jumps on board and talks about the New York Yankees. Well, that's somewhat true. Every week, I'm going to get through all of it. I got eliminated yesterday. How many leagues are you still alive in, Michael?
Right now, 5. So I have a championship berth riding on tonight's game.
Really?
So we'll see. So right now 4 and then potentially a 5th.
And how many leagues did you start the season in?
So I had 12 to start. I made the playoffs in 11. I made the semis in 9. And now I'm in 4 championships and maybe 5.
Okay, who needs to play well for you tonight?
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, well, you're in good shape.
It's one of those situations where, I think I'm down. I want to say I'm down maybe 15, 16 points, but my opponent has Will Lutz. So, I need Michael Thomas to have a Michael Thomas game. So if I can get 28, I think I'll be in pretty good shape, but we'll see.
Yeah, I had a Jameis Winston.
You never know.
I had Jameis Winston as an opponent yesterday. Bad deal for me. Just got run over.
I had him going for me in a couple of leagues. I won both of those, and one of them I had Lamar Jackson going against me, and Winston almost made up what Lamar did on Thursday night, so that was huge.
Okay, if you have Kenyon Drake, how are you handling the last 2 weeks of the season?
You tell me. So I didn't like the matchup Cleveland had been pretty tough against running backs over the last month or so.
Yes.
And then there was also these reports coming out that, like, after David Johnson had scored that touchdown, that maybe the Cardinals were going to give him more burn because they wanted to see sort of what they had with David and whether or not they're going to keep him around for next season. So I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to play Kenyon Drake. I think I had him ranked maybe 22nd among running backs, which is like a flex. But I didn't really particularly think he was going to have a monster game. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, you want to talk about a performance that came out of absolutely nowhere. Kenyon Drake just if you started him, congrats, because there's no moving on. And if you played against somebody who started him, well, good luck in 2020.
No, that's right. That's why I'm preparing for Jerry Jeudy in the draft with Alabama, because of Jameis Winston. But I'm sure there's others that, like, Kenyon Drake just comes out of the blue and does what he does. And Nick Chubb, I'm watching Nick Chubb yesterday. It's like, okay, you know, he looks pretty good, but he's no Kenyon Drake. And then there's David over there holding his helmet. And I know every week we talk about it. David, actually, I don't know if you saw this or not, said he's not on social anymore because of all the abuse he's been taking. Of all the fantasy backs this year,
People are ridiculous, man. Yeah, people are ridiculous with that kind of stuff. Like, Josh Jacobs was tweeting that out, too, because he had missed a game. And people are, I mean, this dude played with a shoulder injury for a lot of the season, apparently. And people on Twitter are going after Jacobs and others, basically saying that, you killed my fantasy football. Who cares? Like, fantasy football is supposed to be fun. We want players to actually enjoy fantasy football, because fantasy football is great for them. You know, it really is, because if you're an elite player, and maybe you're not in a big media market, man, people are going to know who you are because of stats and because of fantasy football. That's one of the things that really annoys me, about people on social media, is that they feel like they have the right to complain about a player who doesn't produce because he's injured or because he has a bad game or two. And that actually ruins it for players, too, because they don't want to see that on their timeline. It's just not fair.
Well, and so I'll throw Todd Gurley's name out there. We all saw the two-point conversion he dropped yesterday, and then he comes back with it. But Todd Gurley's taken a ton off the Rams and Cowboys, because I got questions all over the place. But because of time, I just want to know, Rams and Cowboys for the rest of the season, figure those two teams out if you're trying to use any of those guys.
I mean, if you made it, I mean, Gurley did score a couple of times, so his stat line wasn't actually that bad. But if you made it this far, I mean, you're rolling with him. San Francisco's defense is really tough, though. They gave up next to nothing to Freeman, but the Rams are going to obviously utilize Gurley in a much more of a featured role. Freeman's sort of been a disappointment this year. So, I mean, at worst, Gurley, I feel like, is still a flex starter in that game. And for the rest of your Rams, boy, Jared Goff looked terrible.
Yes,
and I thought
awful.
Goff would have a decent game. Fantasy-wise, he had almost 18 points because he had the garbage time. So it wasn't bad in fantasy. But even before he injured his thumb, he didn't look good. He didn't look right. He was overthrowing receivers. He wasn't accurate at all. And now you deal with his thumb in a game against the Niners. All of a sudden, you can maybe trust Tyler Higbee, who's been ridiculous over the last 3 weeks, and maybe Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks is off the radar. I mean, Cooper Kupp salvaged his stat line with the garbage time touchdown in that game yesterday. So, but the matchup's not great, and San Francisco lost a game yesterday that they probably shouldn't have. In terms of the Cowboys, good luck, because Philadelphia is a Jekyll and Hyde defense. Like, they've been much better at home than they have been on the road this year, but when you look at the numbers that they've given up to some of these players, like Dwayne Haskins, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, he had a good fantasy stat line yesterday against Philadelphia. You're starting Dak, you're starting Zeke. That's obvious. I mean, Amari Cooper's got to probably be in your lineup, even though he had a stinker against the Rams yesterday. There are a few teams out there that have become really difficult to predict. The Cowboys have become one of them. The Rams have become one of them. And when you try to figure out, exactly like what's going on a week-to-week basis with Atlanta's defense, that one's really tough too. So you play the matchups, you trust the process. But at this point, if you've made it to the championship, you're sticking with your studs. And I still believe Todd Gurley's a stud running back, especially the way they're using him over the last month or so. It's just game script got in the way yesterday, and he still ended up with two touchdowns. So
I'll let you go off that. You sound good. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Take care. This is Michael Fabiano with us. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He is here day in and day out. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. If you missed any part of the show, it repeats over and over and over. Have yourself a great day.